Welcome to Rock Your Girl Power. It's the Bad and Bougie Boss Lady on a phenomenal journey to help you discover your power, passion, and purpose at the convergence of love, romance, and finance. I'm your host, Kisi Monique, authoress, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. Join me every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time for the Hour to Be Empowered. Also, on Sundays at 9 p.m. for Love Notes and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. for Sex Amongst the Married. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and support through our website and our Patreon store. All links are located in the dialogue box. Sex Amongst the Married, Love and Marriage. Let's talk intimacy unveiled and explore sex within the bounds of marriage. Tune in as we will delve deep into this piece over several weeks about the bounds of intimacy within marriage. This week, I want to address the significance of sex within the marriage. First of all, when you took that vow and you stood before the pastor, officiant, whoever it was, ultimately it was in the sight of God. But when you took that vow, you said, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, sickness and health. And even if you made your own vows, there were some things in there that you said. Those are things that you must stick to. However, when we're standing at that altar, 90% of the time, we are not talking about let's have sex. We know eventually it's going to happen. However, it's not addressed in the marriage. When we're standing at the altar to say I do, it's not addressed. However, I want to explore this segment with connection. This is something that's very important because a lot of people are in their marriages, but they're not showing up in their marriages. So you're here, but you're not present. There's a difference. What are you saying, Kisi? What I am saying is, just because the two of you lay in that bed together doesn't mean that your mind is on that bed. The Bible talks about the marriage bed being undefiled. I'll get that scripture for you in just a little while. However, when you lay in that bed with your spouse, your mind should be on that person and what goes on between you and that person. Oftentimes, I have found that people who I've coached have said they don't want to be intimate, sexually intimate with their spouse because he did this. And I'm using he because I mostly coach the women. Nonetheless, the connection is one element that is a must. If the connection is broken, there's distrust, there's the idea of withholding. There's the idea that you don't want to be touched physically, just on top of your skin, just your bare skin, like touching your arm or touching your leg or even your back or your hair. We're not even talking about the actual act of sex at this point. We're talking about just arriving to the point. However, there are things that can break the connection. As we all know, infidelity is one of them. There are multiple layers to infidelity. There's the physical aspect. There's the emotional aspect. There's the mental aspect. And a person can also be neglectful to their current spouse while they're thinking about someone else. So when I say that you are not present, you're not showing up as the spouse that you're supposed to be. You're showing up as your single self because you don't really want to connect with this person for whatever reason. When trust is broken, it's hard to get back. I'm one of those people that when trust is broken, good luck with trying to get me to trust you again. And I say that firmly. Good luck with that. When you breach your word to me, good luck with trying to get me to trust you again. So let me say this. I've been married twice. I'm still in my second marriage. But my first marriage was short-lived. My ex-husband wanted to be married and single. How do you do that? What is that? Is there such a thing? Well, if it wasn't, he sure invented it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got married people out here doing single people things. But that wasn't going to work for me. Because number one, I don't share. If I got to share, I don't want it. It ain't meant for me. And I gracefully bowed out and respected where he was. Now, here is an element. This is the kicker. A lot of people won't own this, but I did. Let me tell you. It's easy to say, oh, well, he did this and he did that. You know, have your temper tantrum and all that stuff. Blah, 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 blah. Sling and snot. Cry me a river. Build me a bridge. Whatever. Listen, I had to own the fact that I allowed this sucker to be in my life like that. Were there red flags? Sure there were. But like many of us, I ignored them. Oh, it's going to get better. Hoping and a wishing and a praying. Hoping and a wishing and a praying. Hoping and a wishing and a praying. I was hoping and a wishing and a praying. But guess what? God's permissive will. Whoo, baby. Let me tell you, you don't want the permissive will. Because the permissive will brings you back around to where you got to do it over again. And you got to do it right. Or else you're going to keep spinning your wheels. So I accepted my part in this. I can't blame everything on my ex-husband. However, that was his desire. He wanted one woman at home. And then he wanted to be out there freaking in the sheets with everybody else. But that wasn't going to work for me. So when I let him go, got the divorce and everything. And there's more layers to the story that I'll get into in another episode. However, when I let him go, got the divorce, I decided I was leaving California and I was moving to Georgia. I needed something new. I needed to start over fresh. Staying in California wasn't an option for me. It's just too expensive to live, to do basic things. I had to make a decision. So I came to Georgia and I started laying my roots here. Well, I ended up leaving for a short while. Well, 4 years. Well, it's a short while compared to how long I've been here now. So nonetheless, I left for 4 years, went back home, take care of my grandma. She was in the beginning stages of dementia at the time. Finished my bachelor's degree program, became a sworn officer with Los Angeles County probation. Like, I was doing things, making great money. But it still wasn't enough. I knew in my heart that my heart was back in Georgia. Guess what else I knew? I knew my future husband was already in Georgia. You know why? Because I asked God to set it up that way. Because I knew he would give me the desires of my heart. In Mark, let's see, let's go to Mark. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles or you have a Bible app that you use, I use what used to be known as Takarta. Let's see. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to mosey on down to verse 22. Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, what might be a mountain in your life, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. I can't make this stuff up, y'all. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. I can't make this up, y'all. It's right here. Mark 11, chapter 22 through verse 25. Now listen. There were some things that I believed God for. Number one was the fact that my husband was not in California. He was already in Georgia. I knew I was coming back to Georgia. I knew I was not trying to convince any bozo in California who I dated. And yes, I called them bozos, but I dated them. Yes, I did. I wasn't trying to convince them to move to Georgia, only to be homesick, shell-shocked, and culture-shocked and all of that, and decide they want to go back to California. That wasn't going to work for me. So my heart was already here. I knew I needed someone here. At the point that I broke down, after I broke up with the third guy I dated, which I called him Mr. Love Pistol, in my book called The Day I Met My Boaz, I knew some things had to change, and I didn't care what I had to do. I didn't care. I just knew it needed to happen. I needed to change because I was tired of the same cycle. How many of you that are out there can honestly be honest with yourself and say, I am tired of the same cycle. What do I need to do to get out of this? What do I need to do to fix this? How many can honestly say that? Bottom line is, be honest with yourself. If nothing else in this world, own your stuff. That is some grown person stuff. Grown woman, grown man stuff. Owning your part. See where the doors were left open. Say, you know what? I did it and I regret it. Or even if you don't regret it, because I have some people that say, I don't regret nothing I did, da, da, da. So be it, whatever the case may be. But regret it enough to repent and say, you know what, Father? I messed up right here. Help me to fix it. Give me the strength to grow from this. What do I need to learn from this? Because sometimes it's not plain and clear on what we need to learn. Be humble enough to say, Father God, help me to know what it is I need to get out of this so that I can grow. Do you think he's going to ignore you if you come to him like that? We can come to his throne of grace boldly. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and enter into his courts with praise before you start asking. Worship him, reverence him, because your marriage is going to need it. Right? And I don't care how good a marriage is. And I like to think that mine's is close to perfect. Now, that's just me. And the only reason I say that is because out of all these years that I've been with my husband, I can honestly say we've only had two arguments. We do have our disagreements, but our disagreements aren't like everyone else's disagreements, so to speak. My husband likes to jump in my face and just start kissing me in the midst of our disagreements. He likes to make me laugh. He doesn't like to see me upset. He doesn't like to see me mad or angry or anything like that. My husband would rather us laugh together. And so we do. And we'll talk about our disagreements. Now, have we had conversations that we couldn't solve right then and there, those hard conversations? Yes. The Bible tells us, don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So guess what? Even if you can't solve it tonight, pull the cap off of it. Let the pressure off of it. Because this is going to be something that is needed. Because if he wants sex or if she wants sex, you got to be able to get there. And you can't allow yourself to be so angry that you make it your business to deprive your spouse. One of the things I've coached women on is forgive often and love harder. It is essential. The cool thing about that is it goes for any relationship. Your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your children, relationship with your friends, your sisters, your brothers, your extended family who are not your blood, but they became family just because y'all know each other and y'all grew together. Yes, forgive often and love harder. If you really, really, really want to grow, And you also have to realize, depending on the person, forgiveness doesn't mean access is still granted. Because some people, you're just going to have to cut them off. But for those who respect the process, who respects the aspect of forgiving, and they understand that this is not something that you are to do and abuse it, but this is what you do. You ask for forgiveness and that person forgives you. You tread lightly and you don't do that thing anymore. And even if you fall again, you make it known it wasn't intentional, but I am working on it. Communicate. And communicate so the other person can comprehend. Don't come with no big fancy words and elaborate words and all that stuff. Make it plain when you're talking to that person. Make it plain so they can understand. They want to be loved just like you. They don't want to be rejected just like you don't. They don't want to be abandoned just like you don't. They want to feel that intimacy just like you do. They want to be close to you. Just like you want to be close to them. You cannot allow pride to kill what you have established before God. Cannot do it. Cannot do it. If you don't want your marriage, go right ahead. But in the interim of things, forgive often and love harder. I cannot say it enough. If you do nothing else in this lifetime, forgive often and love harder, especially in your marriage, because that person is now you and you are that person, because God looks at the two as one. There's no more you or him. It's just you, we, us. There is no you in the eyes of God. What made you get on this subject, Kesey? It's needed. It's needed. People need to understand what the significance of intimacy is for, sexual intimacy. What is it for in marriage? Well, let's talk about some things. Physical intimacy, we already know that part. That's the feel good. But in having the physical intimacy, you want to connect emotionally. You gotta be fluid enough, vulnerable, to allow your emotions to blend. You got to. There's an exchange that has to happen for you to have that emotional connection. Communication, comprehension, and trust. If those three things are broken, you can forget about the connection, and you can pretty much forget about the physical part, unless you're just having sex just to say I had it. However, sex in marriage is also a stress reliever, baby. And it's got some health benefits. I remember a time me and my husband, we were talking about our sex life and what we enjoyed about it and, you know, whatever. We honestly do not have anything that we don't enjoy about one another. But we talked about how much we enjoyed being together. Now, he took it a step further and he looked up an article and found why, basically, medically, why sex is great for the body, for the woman's body. And the stuff that he came out with when he read it to me, I was just in awe, like, wow, all of that? I'm gonna see if we can find that article and I will link it in the description box. But listen, that was amazing. Sex amongst the married is also an expression of love and affection. The fulfillment of needs, and you can also equate it to being what is required in your faith. I know in my faith, we are supposed to be married and fornication free. Doesn't always work that way, but that's what we're supposed to be. Now, I want to jump into some scriptures before we close. So Genesis 2 and 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. One flesh. They are now you. So if you say I, you're talking about you and him. Now, let's just break this line here, because there is a fine line there. You still have to grow individually so that the two of you can continue to grow as one flesh. Moving on to 1 Corinthians 7 verses 3 through 5. The husband shall give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited period of time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. There it is. I can't make this up, y'all. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Proverbs 5, verse 18 through 19. Let your fountain be blessed. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with the delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Be drunk in love with your wife, men. Husbands, be drunk in love with her. Listen, I don't believe that anyone signs up for marriage just to get divorced. I could be wrong, but it's just not what I believe. I don't believe that someone enters marriage just to say, well, I'm just going to cheat on this person for the rest of our lives. I don't believe that. I believe that people come with their baggage and they try to unpack it. But because they haven't dealt with it, it just spills all over the place. And then it looks ugly, and then it stinks, and then the other person wants to throw a temper tantrum, but can't quite figure out what to do and where to go. So listen, if you want greater sex, deal with the issues. You want greater intimacy, deal with your issues. Grow as an individual so that when you come together with your spouse, connection will be immaculate. I can't say it enough. It's so vitally important. Deal with the issues. You seem stuck? Feel like you're stuck? Go see a therapist. Need medication? Go see a psychiatrist. It's totally okay. No judgment. You're living here in a judgment-free zone. Deal with the issues, for they are important. Covering them up, masking them up, putting on that facade every day, eventually you're gonna come crumbling down. And when you do, those issues will still be there, ready and waiting for you to deal with them. Deal with the issues. Until next time, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Sex Amongst the Married. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, and support. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for joining us on this journey of empowerment and inspiration. Together, we're breaking barriers and shattering stereotypes. Keep rocking your girl power. Stay fierce, and remember, the world is yours for the taking. Until next time, keep shining bright, ladies. Remember to keep it pretty, keep it poised, and as always, keep it pink.